start with our opening items.
Are you ready to go?
Yes.
I have two newly elected board members up front.
Mr. Mason.
Swearing in of our two newly elected members, one newly and one re-elected.
What shot do you want, Dean?
That's good. As long as we can see their faces. Thank you.
All right, if you would both please raise your right hand. I state your name.
Robert Bus.
I'm Mark Mason.
Do solemnly swear or affirm?
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Ohio. And that I will faithfully and impartially discharge my duties. As member of the Board of Education of Madison Plains Local School District. To the best of my ability. And in accordance with the laws now in effect and hereafter to be enacted. During my continuance in said office. And until my successor is chosen and qualified.
Do you want this signed? Do I have to come around?
Okay, great. I will now call to order the Madison Plains Board of Education. Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley.
Here.
Mr. Dodds.
Here.
Mr. Butts.
Here.
Mr. Hunter.
Here.
Mr. Mason.
Here.
Mr. Detweiler and I are also present.
Mr. Mason, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will move on to Section B, Election of Officers.
Madam President, this time I'd like to make the motion for the nomination of Mike Dodds for President.
Second. Any other nominations? Okay, we can take our vote.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Abstain.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0 with one abstain.
At this time, I'd also like to make the nomination of Bob Butts for Vice President.
Any other nominations? Okay, you can vote, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Abstain.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0, one abstain.
Before we go any farther, I would like to say, Kelly, thank you for all the hard work you did.
Sure.
That job was passed around, so it's not so stressful on everybody. So, thank you for everything you've done.
Sure. Thank you. Yep.
All right. We'll move on to item C, approval of the board meeting schedule.
Mr. President, I'd like to make the motion that we accept the following scheduled regular board meetings for the 2016 calendar year. All meetings will be held in the district meeting room in the elementary building as listed below.
Second. Any discussion?
I'd like to point out that June and December are earlier than normal. Conflicts in June and conflicts in December. If we had the following weeks, so we'll put those on and we'll point that out before you vote.
Any other discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I move that we appoint John Pagurski as legal counsel for the ensuing calendar year.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Yeah, we'd like Mike to do that.
I want
to
say something. That's why I said
it. Have we even looked to see if we can find anybody else in the last year?
Well, we have, and there are lots of people available.
Mm-hmm.
I would always advise that if we're going to do that, we keep current counsel and then get somebody else also that's available to us. Current counsel is who's been through all of our negotiations and has all the history. And if, as you know, we've got a lot of issues that require that background. So I would never advise that we just switch cold turkey. But we can certainly consider having Mr. Podgorski along with someone else and then kind of pick and choose which counsel works for us on which topics.
Well, then I would suggest that when our meeting on the 21st, we really need to sit down as a board and discuss this particular topic of bringing someone else on.
Do you want me to bring you some recommendations?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think we just need to get some other local, just I think someone in Columbus, whatever. Just some other.
To be honest, last year would have been a very difficult year to switch. But if we're going to, this would be a good year to switch.
And we could still use him for topics that are still open, right? And then
absolutely.
Use the new council on another topic. If
does that work for you, Dave? It works. Any other discussion? Would you call roll, please?
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Hunter?
No.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-1.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the following be approved as follows under the annual approvals, all listed below there. There's 13 issues there.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Well, thank you. Any discussion?
Mr. Mason's knowledge, these are standard recommendations that happen every year at the organizational meeting, so there's nothing unusual.
These are stayed the same way. Any other discussion? Would call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make the motion that if Kelly Cooley approves, be appointed to act as legislative liaison, and that Mark Mason would be our alternate to the OSBA for 2016. You okay with that?
Yes.
Sure.
That okay, Kelly?
Yep, that's fine.
Second.
Any discussion? Would you call roll, please?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make the motion that if everyone is in agreement, I'd be appointed to act as student achievement liaison to the USBA for 2016.
Second.
That's okay, if that's okay with you guys.
That's fine with me.
Yep.
Yep. Any further discussion? Would you call roll, please?
Mr. Hunter.
Yes. Oh, abstain.
That was quick.
Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Stepped on it.
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yeah.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
None of you good people caught that, did you? That was slick.
Mr. President, I nominate Mike Dodds if that's okay with you, to be appointed to the Audit Committee for 2016.
That's fine with me.
Second.
Any discussion? Quick call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley.
Yes.
Mr. Butts.
Yes.
Mr. Dodds.
Abstain.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0. Abstain.
Mr. President, I make the motion that Mark Mason and Kelly Cooley be appointed to serve on the Insurance Committee for 2016. If both of them agree?
Yep, that's fine.
Second.
Any discussion? Take roll, please.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Butts.
Yes.
Mr. Mason.
Abstain.
Mrs. Cooley.
Abstain.
Mr. Dodds.
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0 with 2 abstaining.
Mr. President, I make the motion that Bob Butts be appointed to serve on the Madison Plains Advisory Committee, Impact for 2016.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Abstain.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0. It's fun to happen.
Mr. President, I make the motion with the approval of the board that I be appointed to serve on the district leadership team for 2016.
We'll second.
Any discussion? Good. Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter.
Abstain.
Mr. Butts.
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley.
Yes.
Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Mr. Dodds.
Yes.
4-0.
Mr. President, I make the motion that Bob Butts and Mike Dotz be appointed to serve on the District Board Policy Review Committee for 2016.
Second.
You guys can say no if you don't want to.
I'm already on that one last time, so I'm fine.
That's why I knew.
Wait, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Did you ask for discussion?
Not yet. Are you all right with that?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Discussion?
Did you switch that every 6 months so that they didn't have to be on the whole year, or did we?
Plan was, but we every ended
year.
Up.
Yeah, every year we can switch.
That's just a lot of meetings.
It is.
It's a lot of meetings.
There's well, a lot of work behind
but
it.
But in the first time around, there was a lot of stuff to catch up on. And once we got caught up, there's not near as much now. So
it's okay.
If we felt it was needed, we could split that time.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Just a question.
That's fine. Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Mr. Butts.
Steen.
Mrs. Cooley.
Yes.
Mr. Dodds.
Abstain.
Motion carries 3-0. 2 abstain.
Mr. President, I make the motion that with approval of the board, I be appointed to serve on the District Athletic Council for 2016, but I got a twist I wanted to put on this if I could. Can I ask that Kelly Cooley sit on that board with me, that committee as well? I think that's important enough we could have two people on that committee.
The board to decide if they want to have two. I'm sure Mr. Mason would be fine with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kelly, you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Sure. So we don't need all of that. It would just say myself and Kelly Cooley, correct?
Yeah,
right. Right. Okay. I'll second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Abstain.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes. Oh, abstain. I'm sorry. You can vote for yourself, can't you?
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0, 2 abstain.
All right. I guess that wraps those up. We'll move on to the board work session. Does anybody have anything for that? Is it?
Yeah, I've got one thing real quick. And okay. This is kind of a, you guys bear with me a minute. I'm mm-hmm. bringing this up to the board and to our administrators, but I'm also bringing it up to the public. Last couple days, there's been a lot of social media stuff going around, okay? And this has been something that's been going on for a while. And I would advise a lot of these people that are doing this social media, be real careful on what you're saying, because a lot of the issues that they're bringing up, we're not allowed to say one way or the other what's going on here at Madison Plains. By law, we're bound, because we have a bunch of underage children out here, to hold their privacy. And at the rate some of this stuff has been thrown at me and sent me, and I've read it, and I thought, you know, if people aren't real careful, it's going to be as bad as a HEPA law, and they're going to mention somebody's name, and then they're going to be up to courthouse have to answer for it. So, to me, I would ask that we could kind of tone down just a little bit. I mean, social media is a great thing that people get to talk and communicate with one another, but we got to be real careful on some of our choosing of words and how things are said, and that the school administrators aren't doing their job. I, for one, just want to say on this last little issue, which I'm sure a lot of people know about, I'm not going to bring up what it was exactly, but I made a call, and all my questions were answered immediately that our administrators were already on top of. So they did their job, and they did it in the letter of the law that they didn't name anybody. And that's what I'm proud of, and that they do get on top of things, and they say things like that, and they do take care of it. But please remember, I don't want to see anybody get in trouble for what they think is their right. But if they say something wrong in that social media, you're going to be drug up there. Because you don't have a right to name kids' names. You don't have a right to know their business. So I would suggest just people be real careful and think about that, because I don't want to see anybody get in trouble over something as silly as social media. You know, don't go saying things like that. And that's all. I just want to use that time to...
If I can just add on to that. One of our biggest challenges is for us, as well as the police and sheriff's department, is staying ahead of what's being posted on social media. It's assumed that nothing is happening if it's on social media, somebody's saying this is what's going on, and they're hearing this probably third, fourth, fifth hand. We may or may not have heard about it. That's why when one call did finally go out, it did explain to folks that if you email any one of the administrators or any employee, the administrators, I do know this for a fact, it's linked to their personal phones. So they will get that immediately. And it'll come from firsthand documentation. It's not a snap picture of a Facebook posting. So that's the first thing we were asking to do. There was, and Dave, you are right, our administration did a great job in dealing with that. There was one failure in communication, and that was on me, nobody else. The one call was supposed to go out Tuesday, and it did go out to the staff. My unfamiliarity with the one call system, I hit the wrong button, it went out to the staff. I think, wow, all the questions are answered now, we're in good shape. That didn't happen. It went to the staff, it didn't go to the community, so people were still in the dark. So that's on me. I take ownership of that. That's why it went out this morning as soon as I found out that they had not gotten it. Because again, as soon as I have credible information, the administration, the sheriff's office says, here's what's happening, we can push that information out, and we will. But not prior to that. And Monday night, we're still fact-finding, trying to figure things out. And we were doing a good job of that, and we had a plan in place for Tuesday morning. Then your social media blows up, and that goes to the sheriff, and they get involved, which is great, because they did a great job, too. They were busy Monday night, which I'm glad of. But had they not been involved, we would have had a plan in place for Tuesday as well. But if we think we have a credible threat of violence of any kind towards any of our kids, we certainly will bring the sheriff into this situation. And I've met with Lieutenant Sweeney and talked to the Sheriff Saban multiple times on this topic, and we've got protocols in place to make sure that we're reacting appropriately and acting appropriately initially. So we have the same issues all schools have. You've got bullying, you've got things like that going on. The parent asked me, how are we going to get rid of that? Well, it starts with things like social media allow kids to have keyboard courage and parents to have keyboard courage to attack each other online. And to be honest, that's the biggest issue we're dealing with now. It's not these students. It's the parents attacking each other on social media. And that's where it's out of our world, and it's clearly in the sheriff's world, and they're aware of it, and they monitor it. So you are correct in saying, you can't have penalties for saying things that aren't true about other people. And that's not from us. That's from the sheriff's department. So.
And I think all of us are available to be contacted by anybody in the community. And as long as it's reported, then we report that in the proper protocol, right? And you guys handle that and accordingly.
Right. I would much rather have that phone call from that parent saying, I heard this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can call Dr. Unger, and he gets on it and takes care of the situation. But it's when it's already out there and we're not doing anything, well, call us and tell us, and I'll tell you what's going on right then and there. but I'm not going to send out a one call at 11 o'clock Monday night when I'm not sure exactly what's going on.
It escalates panic, I think, among parents, and then we have the weather on top of it, and I think that just took a different level.
Right. It was a challenging couple of days, that part of it. But thank you for that, Dave.
Yep.
Okay, I have something, and this is on the lighter side.
Sure.
I would like to acknowledge the elementary and intermediate glee club. They came to Midway prior to the holidays and caroled, and they were a great group of young people, and it was appreciated. And they're fine singers, too.
Awesome.
Anybody else? Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Bob. All right, at this time we'll move on to our public communication. I see we have
Ms.
Baker.
My name is Alice Baker. I live at 13490 Charleston Chillicothe Road, South Colon, Ohio, 43153. I'm sure you can recite that by name by now. I'm here once again about exam policy and weighted grades. I did receive a response today at 4 o'clock, so I really haven't had time to prepare. I wish it were sooner.
So do I, but I didn't want you to feel blindsided that if I sent it to you tomorrow, you'd say, well, you didn't send it to me today because I was talking to the board.
At the same point, I really don't.
You still have plenty of time to respond at the next meeting. So.
So anyway, I haven't really had a time to study it extensively, but the gist of it, from my understanding, is as far as the exam policy, it's going to be looked at, which is fine. However, once again, we need to address what occurred in the past. So from my understanding of the email, it is being looked at, which we already knew. It is being looked at for next year. And that it wouldn't be changed for previous year, which is okay. Not with me, but it's policy, whatever. The weighted grades, I still have a huge issue with. Four of you voted on two separate occasions in June and August before last school year and said we're going to add a class to the weighted exam. Well, that shows intent of the handbook, that you intended to change the handbook. Parents, students took those courses with the understanding, based off of the handbook and your votes, that these classes counted to weighted grades. Yet in December, it was just disappeared from the, you voted to eliminate it with one vote rather than the two votes, which I, he said last time you only need one vote for the handbook, but yet most handbook readings have two votes. This one just eliminated the policy because apparently it wasn't done in the past. Just because it wasn't done in the past and it was a prior superintendent doesn't mean that every parent or student knows that. So when they go to the course description book and it says this is a weighted class, and you go to the handbook and it says, oh, the board voted and they added a class to it, that means they want the weighted classes to occur. As parents and as students, they took those courses with that understanding, and yet they're not, it wasn't weighted. And so my understanding from the email is that it's being looked at, but that doesn't change the fact that students took those courses, they completed grades in those courses based off of what you guys voted on. Four of you voted on that, and yet it wasn't implemented, and I still don't understand why. Why wasn't that done? I mean, you're only hurting the students, and that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't hurt anyone to weight the grades and to follow your own policies.
I would also ask to take a closer read of the response that kind of explains that to you. And I, one thing I can tell you, there's two pieces to the weighted grading. One, you have to take the courses that are designated as weighted grade classes. And two, you have to take the AP exam in order to get it weighted.
And not all weighted classes have an AP exam.
But the handbook says you have to take one. So that's, again, our problem with that section of the handbook was that we had weighted grades and we had a requirement in there that we didn't necessarily agree with. So part of the discussion that is missing from the oral discussion, which really had nothing to do with the handbook as far as not being recorded, was that anything that our past practice didn't support, we're not going to keep in there and keep saying this is what we're going to do and then not do it. Okay? And so that's the issue we had. So we took it out knowing it's going to go to either administration or the grading committee is going to evaluate weighting of grades and should you make kids have to take an AP exam. So that's why that was taken out. I mean, it wasn't anything that, you know, we were saying let's, you know, change everything we're doing. We're saying, and the directive I got was, we want to make sure these things line up. Our practice is this. This is what our handbook says. And that's what we did. And then the next step is to say, okay, they're lined up, but do we agree with that? Is our practice correct? And that's what the grading committee is looking at to say, maybe we do need weighted grades. Maybe we do need kids to take an AP exam. Maybe we don't. So that's what we're doing now. And that's actually happening in the grading committee policy now. So.
Which might help the students now, but what about those students that took those courses? Those are the students that are hurt. And it's not even really my student that I'm fighting for. It's mostly the seniors. I mean, they're the ones that you're taking dollars away from them, scholarship dollars away from them, when they did the work and you, four of you voted. Four of you voted, yes, we want that done, and then all of a sudden it's just gone. That doesn't hurt anyone to go ahead and put the weighted grade on there and to follow through with your original vote. And then it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be done for this year because the language was gone in the middle of last year. So I get it for this year. They're not weighted this year. Last school year, I think they should have been, and I think it should have counted.
And we can talk more about it, yourself and myself, Dr. Unger, or however you like about that, and let you know what we're doing and what the decision was. I can take some more direction from the board if you want me to do any more investigation. I can do that.
Tim, what I'd like to have you do is let Alice read over what you sent her. You guys get together, and then when we have our meeting on the 21st, we'll take a little bit of time and we can stand and talk about that.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Is that okay, Alice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Alice. Thank you very much. All right, we'll move on to item F, approval of the board minutes.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the minutes for December 15, 2015 meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Any discussion? Would you call roll, please?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Abstain.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0, one abstain.
Brings us to you, Mr. Mustine.
Thank you, Mr. Dotts. The first thing I'd like to speak on is my monthly treasurer's reports are all there as usual with one qualification. Our books are closed out for the month of December, and we are reconciled for the month of December, but we haven't been able to process the reports for month end because our accounts payable, they're still creating their 1099s for the calendar year end. And until we get those finalized and pushed out, I couldn't get you the detail on the spending plan that I normally do. So what I did was to back into an estimate on the total expenditures and total receipts. And I did note that. What is included and what you are approving that is absolutely correct and final are the check registers, receipts register, financial summary, bank reconciliations. Those are all correct. But I just want to let you know that. It's not necessarily unusual that it's taking accounts payable a little bit of time. We've had some different requirements on the 1099s this year that we didn't have before. And so we'd rather get it right than get it wrong. So she's just taking a little extra time to make sure we get those right. With that in mind, to bring up our cash flow analysis using those figures, we are in our second to worst month of the year, basically, with December. Next month, we'll bottom out, and then we'll start to climb again, which is good. Which is good, because these months in December and January, can't help but make you a little bit nervous when your fund balances run that low. But it's not unusual. It's just the way things are, the way our cash flow is. So we are trending about where we expected to be. We've always been a little bit ahead based on the fact that we started off a little better than what we thought we did, based on how we ended last year because of the real estate additional revenues. So nothing out of the ordinary there. What else I have for you are the amounts and rates that we approve every year. These are what we get from the county auditor when real estate values are updated. It affects our millage, our voted in millage, and through a reduction factor. And these rates right here, if I can use my little tool here, these rates right here are what get adjusted. And as we mentioned before, you know, we were very close to the 20 mil floor. And what that allows us to do is to generate some additional revenue because we can't get reduced down below 20 mils based on property values increasing. So we were real interested to see where we came out this year and somewhat let down a little bit to find out that we are exactly at 2006 still. We're still 0.06 off the floor. You know. So what that all amounts to, based on last year and this year, with the changes in real estate, agricultural values, residential values, items that went from real estate to personal property, we're going to receive about $5,000 less this year, almost $6,000 less this year than what we received last year on our real estate, which if you remember last year, we increased $500,000. So things have stayed the same, and that's not a bad thing. You know, we're only off about $5,000 to $6,000 right there. So we will be asking for your approval to approve the amounts and rates because this gets sent back with our approval to the county auditor. You have any questions on that?
Is the next reval, are they doing it next year or the following year?
The triennial, we just had a revaluation. Last year.
Two more years.
So 15. More so 16 is this year, 17 next year, and then we get new values in 18. So. Anybody else have any other questions on that? What else do I have for you here? I have our appropriation amendment. As we said at the last meeting, you know, in this meeting, we like to true up our appropriations for any changes that happened up to this point. We have done that. The appropriations increased around $50,000 in the general fund. That was due to, a number of different things. A few of the larger ones I have here are, you know, we had an additional $9,000 for preschool services that we didn't expect. We had an additional $14,000 for a nursing contract that we needed to increase. We have a contract for snow removal services that we have on for this year. And then the other amounts that increased were in the athletic account, where we increased the appropriation based on the fact that we have the rent coming into the athletic department now. So that's $20,000 that wasn't appropriated before that is now through the athletic department. And as you know, we don't appropriate and include on the appropriations the student activity funds, which is where that came from, you know, the 200 accounts. So that's why that increased that also. So those items combined to the tune of about $124,000 is what that amounts to on our increase in appropriations from where we started off the year and where we are now. And that's somewhat deceiving based on the fact that, you know, the $20,000 is coming from student activities into the athletic department. There's another $28,000 in donations that we'd appropriated for the athletic department. So half of that is not an additional cost, really, truly, to the district. The amounts that we need to focus on are the general fund amounts, and those are the additional contracts we didn't expect due to students that we received into the district that we had to serve and meet those needs. And that amounted to, you know, around $50,000. We're still well within where we need to be, well within our revenue for the year, well within our projections even for the year. So it didn't really affect us all that much. But we do this to make sure that we stay in compliance more than anything. So.
Can I jump in for a second? One thing I want to point out is how critical we talked at length about contracting services out. And we had Allscapes do our maintenance for the mowing, and they're doing our snow removal. By having them do that work, it allows Mr. Kimbler and our maintenance department to focus on the facilities. Good example is last 2 days, everybody knows what the weather's been like. It's been difficult to manage. We haven't had to focus on how we're going to get the snow removed. They focused on our power outage on Tuesday. And our, most people don't know, when power goes out, it's not just a matter of they come out and they clip it back on. We have to make sure that all of our pumps, everything that are on different phases don't come on incorrectly and don't burn them up. A good example is the sewage plant was one of the biggest issues we had, because if you don't bring it back up, it'll burn it up. And if the sewage plant's not working, school's not in session. That's simple. So those guys are focusing on that when historically they've been removing snow. And so now we have that ability, and we've got our custodians are now responsible for clearing the snow off of their sidewalks. So people that should be doing those things are now placed in the position with the time to do it. So I wanted to point that out. It's critical that we have those people have the time available to them to do the job we expect them to do. So we have that set up now.
Any other questions regarding the appropriation amendment that we have on?
How does that appropriation compare to other years, not considering the gifts or the donations?
Our appropriations compared to other years?
I mean that $50,000 roughly.
Oh, you mean an increase? Yeah. Like, do we usually increase that much from, say, when we approved the permanence till now?
Right.
I think it's about 0.25% of an increase. I mean, it's not that big of an increase. I don't recall what we had last year.
Historically, for me, yes. In December, January, February, March, in that time frame, you're doing a true up where you've established your permanent appropriations early in the year. And truthfully, that's a projection. And then once you get in the middle of the year, you're like, okay, I know we're doing this, this, and this, so I've got an increase, but these things we're not doing, I can decrease those things. So you try to balance it out. But truthfully, if you get in a situation where there's new services, which Todd pointed out several of those, you're going to see an increase. If we see that, you know, it's going to be a dramatic increase, you would have seen that before now.
Right. And then also it would have required a revision of the five-year forecast, for instance, another filing of the five-year forecast, when in actuality, you know, this amount that we're looking at doesn't materially affect our five-year forecast, that it changes where we're going to be or when we run out of funds or anything like that. So I don't know. It really is based on the students that come into the district and the needs that we have to provide that we can't anticipate. You know, those things, when you get a special needs student that requires specific services that all of a sudden you have to supply that you didn't supply before, you know, you can't anticipate that really. Same thing with our English language learners, you know, that we have moving into the district.
And also along the lines of using the contractors, do we still have the same manning that we had before, and just the contractors with additional costs associated with that?
It is currently. Okay. And the reason being is we were always behind in getting, like I just pointed out, facilities maintenance and things like that. Now we're not. Those guys are doing what they should be doing instead of mowing grass or pushing snow. They're working on the sewage plant, making sure it's up and running. We would have been in a real bind if we hadn't had external contractors in that situation, because we would have been trying to push snow and have guys over there working on the sewage plant. And we only have a couple guys that have the expertise to do that. And they're also the guys that push snow. So we're trying to make sure that, you know, we mitigate and reduce our costs to try to offset those contracted services. But sometimes you don't get to do that. You make it up for it by having time available for the jobs they need to get done.
What it did do is allow us to actually look at our casual labor, you know, our supplemental maintenance services that we have, you know, that we have, and actually use them on an as-needed basis, truly, as opposed to them just having to be here all the time, you know, because
that's we've got additional recommendations you'll be hearing about to try to address staffing levels in some of those areas.
I think we have a little more flexibility now, basically, is what it comes down to. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. The last thing that I have is I had told you, and you had requested that I would give you a quarterly update on the athletic department, a fiscal update on the athletic department. I do have that for you here. Fairly simple. I'd like to try and keep it simple. Our athletic account right now as it stands, let me try and zoom out so you can get the full picture here.
That's full page. We can see it.
Okay, here we go. All right, Athletic Department Quarterly Fiscal Update. This is our budgeted versus actual. The green here is our budget. The budget for our revenue or our receipts, $117,950. That's what we anticipated. To date, we've received $100,633. That's 85%. So right now we've collected 85% of our projected revenue for the athletic department. On the expenditure side, our budget is $119,980.26. To date, we've encumbered $80,425.32. And of that encumbrance, we've actually spent $45,865.75. So we've encumbered 67% of our budget, but actually only spent to date 38%. So we are doing a great job of staying within our budget that we established at the beginning of the year. Of course, a lot of our big revenue has already happened or is happening right now. So that's why you see a lot of that's come in already. Our football gates and our basketball gates. Also, we've had a lot of donations come in already, as well as the $20,000 rent. You know, so that helps to increase that amount, because 100% of that rent money's come in. 100% of those donations have come in that we budgeted for. Now, there's the possibility that we have additional donations come in later in the year that we don't necessarily have built into this budget. But based on where we're at right now, things look really good, you know, with the athletic department.
Are there any known big ticket items that are hanging out there? I mean, as far as like track repair and any of the other stuff?
The biggest project that they have going on right now is the floor in the field house, and that's been paid for through donations. So that's ongoing, but it is in the budget. I mean, that is part of those encumbrances and expenditures.
Okay. Nothing else that's a big ticket item out there other than one now. The big thing is the lean time is your spring. No revenues coming in, and that's what you have to. After basketball, revenues are done.
Yeah,
I guess that's just what I was thinking. Is if you're sitting at 85% now, and you've got what, half the basketball season left, and yeah. Is that going to make up the other 15% of that? Probably not. I would assume. I don't know. It'd be close, I guess. But I mean, and what are the big ticket items that are still hanging out there to be paid for yet that haven't come through?
And to be honest, and I know we had something come up, but that's why I wanted to have Mr. Mason here to speak on what he had left to encumber, what he had left to purchase for the year. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I don't know what he has left. I know that he's been doing a good job of encumbering his amounts early. You know, so for whatever sport that he has right now for his officials, for instance, he's encumbering those amounts for everything he needs to pay officials right now, or whatever the supplies are for that sport, he's encumbering up front. So pretty much where we're at right now and what he has encumbered should get him through whatever sport he's in right now.
Okay.
And whatever project he has going on right now.
But then again, we don't have any revenue coming in for baseball season and softball, but we've got some stuff we have to do for the fields, right?
But he's saying he should have that stuff already budgeted in his encumbered. I mean,
it's budgeted, but not necessarily encumbered. So like for baseball season, it's not encumbered.
His biggest challenge that he has left is biggest expense out of his 300 account is normally his refurbishing of football equipment, which happens in the spring, so that he has to make sure that's accounted for.
Right.
That's a big ticket item within his budget. The projects are a combination of his budget and PI.
Right.
So it's that budget's not going to bear all that cost if we do have a big project that comes up. But right now we don't have any big ones that are out there.
But I mean, typically in the past on the reconditioning the uniforms and stuff, since that's a safety issue, we've always kind of helped out with that if he needed it, correct?
Right, if we needed it, or if we had to buy additional helmets due to numbers.
Yeah, because that's a safety issue. But, I mean, as far as you don't foresee anything coming up right now going into the baseball and softball to have to do.
I would ask, do we have everything? Do the kids have everything they need?
I think, yes. I believe so. That was one of the discussions when we set the budget, was to make sure everybody was on the uniform rotation, you know, for new uniforms.
Right.
They should be, and if they weren't, to make sure that was reestablished. So, yeah, everybody's on. Okay.
I don't hear we're under, and then, but nobody got this or that or this or that.
The other shoe to drop. That's kind of what
I was
saying. And Mark brought up a good point to me just now. Track season coming up. The reason I hadn't mentioned them, that should be covered, right?
Right.
We did the reconditioning, and we've already taken into consideration what we have to do to get that to make sure it's right.
Right, that's correct.
There's a couple home meets, I think.
Why I say we are in a good position is because, you know, we have received $100,000 to date, and we've only spent $45,000. So there's $55,000 left to support those spring sports, you know, essentially, or any projects that we have left. So
it's fair to say we're in a much better position now than we were this time last year.
Yes, right. Financially and as far as where we are, as far as overseeing the budget, we're in a much better place, I think. Now, with that in mind, I would like to show you one thing, like where this information comes from that you guys will have access to.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if you are, and if you are, I don't know, but are you, you know, if you're familiar with FiskWeb and being able to log in through our website at Madison Plains or through Mavecka's website. This I just recently rebuilt, and now it's very consistent. But one of the items is athletics. And so for athletics, you have all these various reports that you can look at. One of them being a bud sum. And so a bud sum will tell you all of the different accounts that athletics has, and then what percent has been expended to date. You know, so.
Hey Todd, right. You said we should have seen. We should see that where this report is.
No. I said I'll give you access to it.
Like,
I said I don't know if you've had access to it before.
No. Okay.
So
I haven't seen it.
No, yeah. The okay. Administration has.
Oh.
Right. These are basically reports generated from the treasurer's office, and they're generated overnight, and they're updated daily,
Great.
What they are, you have all the different accounts that you can go down through and see the descriptions for. So like junior high, boys, basketball officials. Today, 100% of that has been expensed or encumbered. So you can go down through and each line by line and see where those accounts are. So right here, you know, you can see today we've spent, fiscal year to date actual expenditures. Right here, $63,000. And that's $36,000. I'm sorry, $36,000 for the 300 account.
Okay.
So there are some different reports there on the expense side and the revenue side, as well as the financial detail that actually lists every single athletic expenditure. So you can see they're listed by date. There's some budget reports that you can see history on, 3 years history on, whatnot. So I'd still like to do our quarterly update where I can, you know, present and show you where we're at quarterly. But I'd also encourage you, and I'll give you the access to do so, to review those reports yourself.
When can we expect to have that access?
As soon as I send you the password.
Oh.
So, right this evening.
It's the password.
Sometime next year.
Yeah. And, you know, so.
If we can fix it.
This was a pretty long process getting this updated. And now that it is, you know, our administration has been able to take advantage of a lot of these reports also. You can see we have all these different departments, permanent improvements, even special education department, technology, the treasurer's office. You have the Board of Education right there. You know, that you'll have access to that also. So it's all public record. It's all public knowledge. And it's just a way to summarize that data in a usable format.
Some of these reports you're pushing out to our website, right?
They're not on our website, no.
Not these, but I mean your financials.
Our financials are and always have been on our website. Yeah.
Right. I want to make sure the treasurer's website think that they don't have access to anything.
Right. This is a lot more in depth, I guess, than what's just been listed on the check registers and receipts ledgers that are on our website. So this is more of an administrative tool. As opposed to just the ledgers that we put on your treasurer's website. So that's my athletic update. Does anybody have any other questions on the athletic department?
And I apologize, Matt. He didn't have one of his workers at the game, so he needed to get over there. The announcer, we didn't have an announcer, so he's over there doing that. But he was going to present with Todd, so.
I saw something in our agenda on the Ohio Athletic Heritage Conference. I'm sorry, Ohio Heritage Conference.
It's in my area. I'll talk to it.
Okay.
With that, that's all I have for my treasurer's report. Thank you.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the treasurer, CFO, the Board of Education approves the following tax rates and revenue for calendar year 2016 as presented by the county auditor.
Second.
Any discussion? Would you call roll, please?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make the motion upon recommendation of the Treasurer of the Board approve the amended appropriation resolution as presented.
Second.
Mark, second. Any discussion?
please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make the motion upon recommendation of the Treasurer that December 2015 financial statements be accepted as presented.
Second.
Any discussion? Would you call roll, please?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, that takes us on to Mr. Detwell.
Thank you very much. I'm going to change the order just a little bit. I'm sure our students here will appreciate that. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Unger for his Student of the Month presentation.
Congressman Stivers presents us with an opportunity to recognize Students of the Month, and we take advantage of that opportunity. Our first person up tonight describes himself as a leader, take charge of large groups and organize students. He describes himself as pleasant. They're focused on relationships with peers and contributions to the school, and community oriented. This person is James Lawless, and he's being recognized for the December Student of the Month.
Thank you one more, James. Turn it just a little bit. I'm getting over there on your class. Look at me if you can. You can stand it.
I'm out before you take it.
Got the bling there. All right. Got to put the bling in there. Here we go. Okay, good. Thank you.
Can I photo op?
Parents up there.
Yes. Hey, you want to take a picture? Oh, they got it.
Yeah. I mean, come on, Dean. You got to take a picture of them, too, because Unger didn't have any part of him at all.
Hold on. All right, you're gonna have to wheel around here. You get your picture ready?
No,
all
right. You don't want your glare in the back of it.
Okay, let's start. Here we go.
Oh, that's right.
One more.
I've got that.
I gave him that picture.
Yeah.
Very nice.
There he goes. All right, I need the parents' name for me, please. Laura.
Dr. Unger.
James.
James.
Yeah. That's all right. I call him. I caught him.
James.
Congratulations. Good job. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thanks. I was there in 8th grade.
James wasn't able to make it to the last meeting because he had a band competition concert. Our next individual was recognized as our January Student of the Month. She describes herself as outspoken and organized. I can speak to that. She kept us as teachers on the ball in class. Organized and determined. The January Student of the Month is Kaylee Nance.
Camera,
so you take a picture of them up there.
Joe, I was going to say, give it to Joe.
Don't say that.
Someone get her phone? Oh, yeah.
I asked Joe to videotape the wrestling match one day.
He did that.
He and I worked the camera. He's like,
what the? Huh? He's a program guy. He's not a hands on.
Right, Joe.
Now let's get her back to that game. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job, Kate.
Good chance. Thank you. Thank you.
The award that was given is the Eagle Award.
No,
the award gives that
where
to students
are
for great accomplishments.
So. No one. We
you guys are welcome.
That's your card.
So cheer him on.
Thank you, Kate.
Congratulations.
Yes, you're going back
here
right now. Oh, there is a game tonight?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Okay. Say
thank you.
Look at us,
Mark.
One of these guys is
right,
going.
Back.
They're out.
We got all we paid for. Right?
Fabulous.
All right. We'll jump back up to number one, recognition of the Board of Education members. I'm glad Mr. Morlock's here. Instead of just passing out the thing from the High School Board Association, which they did send this poster down, this is Board Appreciation Month. That was nice, but we asked the principals to see if they could get some information and some thank yous from students if they felt like they wanted to. Dr. Unger already had things planned for tonight, so Mrs. LeGault, she lined up some things from some students. And first of all, you see up there the sheet is called Toodles. That's part of our PACS program, and it's kind of the reverse of tattles. Instead of telling on somebody for doing something bad, a toodle is telling on somebody for doing something good. Okay? So this, our students in this building wrote up a toodle for the Board of Education. In other words, they're telling you you're doing something good. That's from the students.
That's not driven
by the teacher. The students wrote that. So that's a neat piece.
Awesome.
I'm going to pass these around. And we did have a student that was going to come tonight, but due to the change, they couldn't be here. This is from students directly to each one of you. And then.
Oh, how nice.
There are these.
Really
also. These are pretty neat. I'll let you take a look at those from students. And of course, Mr. Morlock can take a look at that too. He earned that this past year. And Mr. Swanger, he's your representative at the tolls board. So please take a look at those. And if you'd like, take some of those with you. They're pretty nice.
Don't forget we gave you $100,000 also.
Exactly.
Is that what it is, right?
Right.
I spent mine already.
Lottery too.
Yeah. $100,000 will go very far.
So again, we laugh and joke about things, but you truly do have a thankless job. You know that. The calls at 11 o'clock at night, we've been talking about things like that. You volunteered for it, you ran for it, and you do get those calls. But it is appreciated, I know, by the administration, myself, and to be honest, the kids know about it. And this is kind of a reflection of that. I thought you'd appreciate that more than just a certificate. So
this is way better.
Take those and keep them. We have one more thing. While you're looking at that, Mrs. LeGault had asked some of the students if they want to do something else, and they prepared a video for you, too. I haven't seen this yet either. Hopefully it's good. Short.
That is so.
Should be a little more than that.
Dear friend.
Oh, these are so sweet.
Let's try again.
About the Ohio Heritage Conference, so we'll turn it over to you to speak to people.
Turn it
started.
All right. Hey, thanks. I apologize. Been late. We are playing Whitehall, so we get done. In the first quarter, we're only down 5 and playing great. So if you get a chance, yes, come up. It's a really good game. This past Wednesday, we go today, we had a league meeting with our new league, which is, most of you know, hopefully it's the Ohio Heritage Conference. And in that meeting, if you remember, we were at 10 schools. The goal was always to go to 12, and we did that. We elected to accept West Jefferson and Greenan High Schools. So now we are at our 12. They're done accepting, and I'm very pleased with that league. This coming Wednesday, we have another league meeting to decide the final divisions. There's going to be a North and a South, 6 teams. Okay, if you remember, our current division with the 10-team protocol was ourselves, Cedarville, Southeastern, Greenview, and Northeastern. All right, now what it looks like it's going to be, so if you remember those 5, now what it looks like it's going to be is ourselves, Cedarville, Southeastern, Greenview, Springfield Central Catholic, and Greenan. So what you have is West Jeff and Northeastern going to the North Division.
That's good.
So, as you can tell in those leagues, I'm very pleased with that league. I think it fits us very, very well. Yes, sir.
One question on that. At the last meeting when we discussed this, you told us we'd always play West Jeff and London as the out-of-league games.
Correct.
How's that going to change now? Who are we going to bring in today?
Well, what you have now is this. Our football schedule starting in 17 is week 1, Westfall, and week 2, London.
So we're bringing Westfall back.
Westfall dropped Taze Valley, and we picked up, which I think is a great addition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the bad part of that conversation is this. Westfall is now a crossover game, and you play 3 crossovers out of 16. So there is no guarantee you'll play Westfall every, or West Jet every year. So I can't promise that, but I am very pleased. I don't think we could have found a better alternative of West Jeff than Westfall. So I think
that's a good one.
That's a good fit. Also, kind of touching on switching leagues, we've started the process of applying to switch districts. How the process works is a little different than the first time I talked to you because our protocols have changed. But we talked to Jerry Snodgrass with the Ohio High School Athletic Association. And how the process works is this. Mr. Detweiler writes a letter to the Central District asking permission to leave, and the Southwest District asking permission to enter. We went through all that stuff this week. I think we have a very, very strong case based on 9 of the 12 league schools are in the Southwest District of our new league. And then there's 4 or 5 others that we play, including East Clinton, Northwestern, some of those schools. So I think it's a very, very convincing case to let us switch. Basically how they usually do it is by county line, all Madison County Central, but they do have exceptions, and a great exception is Westfall. You know, everybody else in Pickaway County Central District except Westfall, which I believe is Southeast actually. But I don't see any reason it won't happen. I've spoke to the Southwest Athletic District President. He didn't see any reason that their board would have any issues. I have yet to speak to Central District, though, about asking permission to leave. We got a phone call, but just haven't had the opportunity to speak to them yet. So that process is underway, I guess, is the best way to say
it. Do you think West Jeff will follow suit on that, too?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, you know, obviously they're closer to Columbus. I don't know. That's a good question. Because you do have, currently, Fairbanks is still going to be Central District unless they apply, and West Jeff. And then us, so I don't know. I would assume so, but I can't answer that, I guess.
At least according to the Madison Press interview last week, they're not planning on switching.
This Board of Education had to approve the move to the Ohio Heritage Conference. Has West Jeff's board and Greenan's Board of Education approved the switch?
They have to at their January board meeting.
So they have not yet.
It's in the paper that they're going to go ahead and that they've said.
Correct.
Jeff said their goal.
Yeah, well, I'll go this way with it. We met with the AD and the superintendent from both schools as part of this process, and as part of the application. I guess their board could say no, obviously, but I doubt you'd get this far along in the process and say no, I guess. You wouldn't have applied without already speaking to you guys, if that makes sense.
We don't have to approve you moving to the district. That changed. We don't have to.
No, that's not. Now, whether Mr. Detweiler wants it to be our, local thing, but no, not as far as the state's concerned. It's a letter from him.
So when we, can I ask another
question?
So can you, or on the website or somewhere, can we put where we can find the, like we always look at this, the dispatch for like scores for the leagues, Mid-State League. Well, it's really hard to find stuff on Ohio Heritage Conference.
It is.
So do you think that we could maybe say, here's some sources that you can find some league stats and some,
because
you know, I try to find them on Twitter or Facebook, and that
gets... Well, yeah, well, you know, two things there. Yes, Dayton Daily News and
Springfield Journal, and I sent for those, too.
They do a good job covering that league, but I'm also hoping, you know, obviously the Madison Press will follow us that direction.
They always do a great job.
Yeah, you know, so I'm sure Chris will keep that up. But, yeah, obviously we won't get the dispatch coverage that we've had in the past.
Right,
so.
which is fine, but
yeah,
I just think that if we put that as a link, hey, you can find out our stats or things like that.
Yeah, we can start that.
Yeah, the Springfield News and Sun does a good job of following it. So.
Yeah, and remember, I know, hopefully, because it's a little confusing, next year we switch the OHC in everything except football, grades 7 through 12.
Right.
That's still in the Mid-State League. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why I want to prep. Westfall and London don't start being non-league games until 2017.
So with the new league, are they going to allow West Jeff and Greenan to jump right in the year we do in football, or are they going to have to
wait?
Yeah,
everybody, that was part of their being accepted. You had to be able to start by 2017.
Okay. Good.
So, you know, next year it will still be a 10-team league in every sport except football, and then 17 becomes a 12-team league in everything.
Cool. Good.
So,
have our coaches, is there much consensus as far as switching to the districts, or?
That's a good question. It depends which coach you speak to, obviously, because, you know, that district might be really good in softball but really bad in baseball and vice versa on a bunch of different things. So it's kind of split. I won't say there's a great consensus, but none of them argue the fact that, you know, nine of those teams are in that district. You know, that's kind of here or there. And, you know, being good in softball or a specific sport, kind of, you know, one year central district's great, that district's bad, and that kind of varies. Those league teams, that kind of stays steady. So hopefully, you know, I think that outweighs the current who's being good. But no, you know, we compete well in Central District in a lot of sports, and, you know, obviously those coaches aren't thrilled about it, but they're not terribly angry either. So.
I think
there
what Central District is going to miss most about Madison Plains is our gates.
Yeah.
We travel well.
Right.
We travel well.
Correct. Yeah, that's very obvious, especially when you get these Mid-State League games. Some other parents. We mostly outnumber the homeschools.
Well, and then the tournament stuff is always further away.
Correct.
Remember
the Southwest District, Cincinnati, though, too. You know, you got to remember where we're going. I won't really argue it's a lot closer geographical. I mean, that's not a good argument because it's probably not in most cases. I mean, you're Dayton, Cincinnati District. So that's a lot of travel as well. But, you know, right now, Central District goes all the way up to, you know, Knox County and the other side, you know,
right.
East Knox. So you get 2-hour trips for, you know, tournament games now. So I don't think it's any different, but it's still a far trip, you know, going there as well. You know, we're kind of in that no man's land, I guess. We're the furthest south Central District team, and we're going to be the furthest north Southwest District team. So.
Yeah, but it's not 2 hours to Cincinnati. So.
No, I agree. It's still a trip, though. Yeah.
I'll take that.
Right. I got you.
Good.
Ready? We'll go back to basketball, if that's all right.
Go cheer him on.
Yep.
Sure. You get that music you can play while
you're I was going to talk about it.
A little bit to add on that. We've already started competing in that grade in quick recall. We started that up and we're attending our arts and event festival too. So we started this year.
They have a match tonight, quick recall?
Yep.
Where was that? Do we have that published, that schedule online?
It should be online. I can't say for sure. I'll check to make sure.
Just make sure so people can see it.
With athletics because of the league
events. Right.
It was a lot of fun we were on that TV show.
In the know.
Well, no, because I'm saying I was watching that the other day, and I thought our kids get beat up on most of those.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch that last weekend?
Some of those kids I can't even believe they're on that team.
I was never on Twitter. I'm not very bright at all, but those kids.
Some of those questions were less for now.
All right.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pick on somebody else.
Okay, Matt, anything else?
That's all.
All right. School calendar. The only thing I want the board to talk about tonight is not the calendar for next year and it's detailed. Two things. Do we want to set a day of the month in which we always start? Not a date, but a day of the month. For example, do we want the third Monday of August to be the day kids start school every year so people can plan around that? If you use a date, it fluctuates all over the place. For example, the 17th was last year, Monday. This year, that's a Wednesday. So my proposal is we always say Madison Plains starts school the third Monday of August.
Well, I think we should start on a Monday. It seems rather ridiculous to me we start school Wednesday or Thursday.
You're setting the day that you're going to start to the date. The second piece is instead of having 1 year approved, I'd like for us to have the next 2 years approved. Okay. With fluctuation in the past and what the state's doing and all their changes, we were concerned that we would be scheduled incorrectly in regards to testing. I feel a lot more confident that they've kind of backed off of all the testing that they're going to make us do. We know what those are. And so scheduling for the next 2 years helps us for planning. It helps parents for planning. It helps with our PD planning. It helps everything. So what you'll see coming from me, and I wanted to put it out tonight just as a discussion item, at the next meeting, I'll be laying out the next 2 years' calendars in front of you with the third Monday of August as the start dates. Okay? That gets earlier in the month, and then it'll jump to the back of the month. So that just depends on when the third Monday falls. That's the 16th, 17th, so you see that's the 15th. So it's a little earlier than last year, but then if you flip to the next one, we'd be on the 21st for our first day. So it's going to bounce around, but it's always the third Monday of August, so people know. Okay, so those are the things that you'll see in the draft coming to you next time. We have to put it out as a draft to you. You'll review it, and then it has to have 30 days for public input. So, but I wanted to give you that. If I had any real issues from you on either one of those topics, we would talk about it. I would. You said no, just do one. We wouldn't do two. I'd do one. But if you're okay with me at least presenting two calendars next month for your consideration,
I'm good.
Right. Yeah. 2 years. Okay. Good. And then something that's not on my report that I do want to talk about briefly, we have a conflict with the time of graduation this year, not the date. The date is the 20th, which is a Friday. Is that correct? The time we have a conflict. And we always go at 7 o'clock. And we wanted to see if the board had an issue, although it's not something you approve. I want to get your input. If we back that up a little earlier, for example, 5:30 or 6 o'clock. We're very aware of the people that are coming from out of town, people that have jobs they're trying to get home to. If you back it up, it puts them more of a bind up front, but it gives them a lot more time after the graduation if they wanted to have celebrations after that. Is there any heartburn with us considering changing that start time?
Yeah, I'd rather be able to. Most people at the get-togethers and stuff are always after. It's not the same night that I go. I mean, it's always on weekends and stuff. I'd rather be able to give people a chance to get there and see the graduation.
I tend to agree with Dave. It gives people more time to get ready for graduation.
Could we look at a 6 o'clock start?
I think 6 is okay.
I still think it's a tad early. But that's,
if you have people working in Columbus who get off work at 4:30 or something, their
6 o'clock is still too early.
I think, though, don't you think they know that the graduation date's on Monday? I mean, I think that 6 o'clock's not crazy early. I don't.
Right, I see what you're saying, Kelly, but I think with our 7 o'clock start, everybody's just always had that advantage that, well, I got time to go home and get changed and get out there. And
there's a critical piece to our administrative team that can't be there because they have a son that's graduating the same time, the same night. And I'm not saying we should work around individual schedules, but also I don't want somebody to miss their child's graduation, just like.
And in that particular situation, I have no problem with that person not being there, because that person deserves to be with their son. Right. Everybody would understand that. Right. And at that time, you can step in.
Oh, absolutely. I can. That's not a problem. I'm just saying, do we want to talk about is 7 o'clock when we actually want to have it? 6 o'clock is an option. I think we should at least consider it. I'm not asking you to give the approval tonight or anything like that. I'm asking you to think about that. Maybe you can talk to some people, get some feedback. Okay. But it would help out tremendously if we could at least back up an hour. Maybe try it 1 year and then see if it, no, absolutely.
But now that you said that, I hope everyone understands that person's not expected to be here. They have a student that their child comes before
And that's not how we operate, and that's why we're trying to see what's the best situation. Again, your administrative team is a very strong and proud team, and they want to be there to do their job.
Sure.
And I think, let me check my list. Is that it? Okay. I have one. Okay. That's it. New business. Sorry. I look at you. What?
Sorry. All right. Move on to new business.
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent of the board approve the second and final reading of the following board policies, graduation requirements, and admission to inter-district transfer students.
Second.
Discussion. Would you call roll, please?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make the motion upon recommendation of the superintendent of the board award the following academic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2015-2016 school year as listed below.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make the motion upon recommendation of the superintendent of the board employ Courtney Bricker as a substitute driver effective January 7th, 2016.
Second.
Any discussion? Would you call roll, please?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent of the board employ Lori Picklesheimer as a substitute bus driver effective January 4th. To the 8th, 2016. I don't understand what that is. Is there one date or another?
Well, I think she's
worked as a sub for us a couple days during that time frame. So this is a retroactive approval.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
What are the dates? So the 4th through the 8th, and then what's the she's hired effective the 11th? Is that what that is?
Correct.
So 4th of the 8th. So 1 week and then hired the following Monday.
Correct.
Okay. I'm clear.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make motion upon recommendation of the superintendent of the board employ Lori Picklesheimer on an 88-day contract as a bus driver, step 15, effective January 11th, 2016.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes. Before you vote on this, I want to make sure you understand this is kind of like a twofer. Mrs. Picklesheimer is highly qualified. She's also an OBI. She can train our bus drivers. That will give us back to two people that can do that. We lost one that went to London, so now we have two that can do training. In order to get her here, she wanted to not only do this work, but also aid work that she has done in her previous districts. She's well-versed in our Dazzle system, the student software, so she is a great pickup for us. The question is, did we have any work for her? And I'll let Dr. Unger speak to what she will be working on.
What she's going to do is fill some of the gaps we have in the middle of the day. We've had to shut the library down on days that Heidi Fletcher is not there because we have to move. Heidi Wilson has lunch duty time during that time. So if we could bring her in, that would ensure that our library is open every single day. Also, we had some problems with some lunch detention and getting some people to supervise that. And that gives us the freedom to help Pam out in the middle school supervising those kids during lunch detention.
So item 6 will be an additional cost. I want to make sure everybody understands that. But it's a valuable piece that we need.
Do we have a second on that?
Yes.
Okay. Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent of the board employ Lori Picklesheimer as an A, step 15, effective January 11, 2016.
Second.
Any discussion? Would you call roll, please?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent of the board employ Patricia Gale as a substitute teacher pending BCI and FBI background checks. Ms. Gale will serve in the position of junior high guidance counselor during the absence of Mrs. Shook.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, absence of Mrs. Show.
Sorry. Will you talk to why she's out?
That was my question.
There you go.
She has knee surgery, and she originally said that she would be out 2 weeks for that, and I knew that wasn't going to be the case. Knee surgery. Her doctor said 6 to 8 weeks for that. After that's over with, and I guess she has ankle surgery shortly after that, that she's going to be work having done. So in order to have services as a guidance counselor to our junior high, we need to find somebody to kind of fill in the gaps. That's very difficult. Pat Gall is a retired guidance counselor. He's had experience at the high school and the junior high level. She won't be here every day, but she will be able to come in and try to fill some of those gaps because Sherry's absence.
It's critical we have somebody down at junior high just for the things we've been talking about in the last few days. You can see that. So when Dr. Unger said he knew of somebody, we jumped on it.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make the motion upon recommendation of superintendent the board approve the following donations listed below.
Second.
Any discussion? Would you call roll, please?
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
We have no new agenda items. We need to have an executive session. Okay, I move that we enter into executive session at 8:24 p.m. for the purpose of one or more of the following under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1. To consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual.
Second.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Executive session.
And we will take no further action after executive session, so the meeting will be adjourned after that.
So, yeah. 2 minutes.